A live look inside the Terrace Suite at Everbank Field, the 2016 State of the Franchise, scheduled for 11 o'clock, and we'll have exclusive coverage right here on Jaguars.com. Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osier, Mark Lamping coming up with Brian Sexton. We'll hear from Shad Khan, the Jaguars owner, after the report today. It's always a cornerstone piece of the offseason. This has turned into an annual event and turned into a big one, John.
Well, it's turned into an event, you know, by its name, it makes sense, a State of the Franchise, but it's also a point of reference throughout the year for everybody. They can look back on this and see with transparency where the Jaguars are at, not only financially off the field right now, but where Mark Lamping and Shad Khan see this thing going in the future. I know fans who have watched this broadcast before have heard us say before, it's a really unique thing this team does.
Absolutely.
In setting forth the issues they have, the plans they have to tackle those issues, the visions they have for overcoming those issues. And it's been a thing that I think has really, over the course of time, help fans understand exactly why the franchise acts and moves as it does.
You're going to hear a lot of things today about local revenue. That's always the case in this thing. And as you said, that's where this address is very much different. They present some of the things they're working towards and how to get towards some of those goals.
And that's where the uniqueness is. Every franchise centers around its local revenue in the NFL. Very few are as upfront with the fans and the people that are supporting the franchise about what needs to be done and why they're doing things as the Jaguars. So that's what the uniqueness, and as anybody who's watched this before knows, Mark Lamping presents it in a way that is very easy to understand and very clear, that he knows where this is going and how they're going to get there.
State of the Franchise coming up 11 o'clock. We'll carry it for you live right here on Jaguars.com. You'll also likely hear about the London Initiative and where that stands and why it's important. You've heard that before.
Right.
There may not be too much new on that front because all the new came last year when the team was in London.
Well, I expect that to be much the same message as before. I may be wrong because I can't see the future, but I expect them to say that London remains a critical part of their local revenue component. It's vital in this market to have that extra bump, if you will, in our local revenue that London gives them, and it remains a crucial part of how Shad sees this franchise going forward. I'm assuming that will be said because there's been nothing to make me think it won't be set.
Of course, one of the most notable items of this offseason is all the construction around Everbank Field right now. The U.S. Assure clubs on both sides, they're under construction. We'll get an update on that most likely. And, of course, in the south end here, the indoor practice facility and the amphitheater, what's the process? We might get some renderings as well. What is this all going to look like? That all might be coming up today.
Took you 5 minutes to get to the cool stuff. That's the cool stuff,
Jamie. It is the cool stuff.
I haven't seen much more than everybody else has seen in terms of the sketches of this. I expect today to be blown away by it because every time Shad rolls out a presentation about what something around here is going to look like, you wound up walking downstairs going, wow, that's going to be really cool. So as we talked about in Mobile this week, JP, when Shad talks indoor practice facility, he wasn't going to talk about a bubble. It wasn't going to be in synthetic top. It wasn't going to be a glamorized airplane hangar. It was going to be a game changer because that's how he does things. I'm sitting here looking at one of the video boards right now. Game changer. Think about the shipyard plans. So this will be something really, really cool. This will be something that when you're looking at it online, you kind of look at different parts of it and go, man, that's going to be awesome. So very rarely does he roll anything that's not awesome. At the end of this day, JP, we're not going to be going, eh.
We'll see. Could have been better, right?
Have we ever done that?
No.
So, yeah.
No.
That's going to make it a very fun day. So I'm looking forward to that part of it. I think everybody is.
Always is. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, State of the Franchise, 11 o'clock Eastern time. We'll carry it for you live right here. Mark Lamping coming up with Brian Sexton as well. And it's one of the few times each calendar year we get to hear from Jaguars owner Shad Khan.
Mm-hmm.
He's not available all the time. He's
around,
but in terms of a public setting and being open to the media, this is one of those big days.
Well, and what's special about him, or unique, I guess, yes, he talks three or four times a year, maybe a little more, but when he speaks, he's very candid about the franchise and does as good a job as any owner I've been around of clearly enunciating and being upfront about how he sees things. So I expect him today, afterward probably, to talk some about Gus Bradley, the contract extension last week, where he sees the football side of things. That's not really what this presentation is going to be about. When the media talks to him afterward, that might come up. So he'll talk about that a little bit. But really where he's done such a great job, as we talked about before, is setting the tone for how he sees the foundation and how this franchise is going to excel in this market. And that, to me, is what the state of the franchise is so unique and I always look forward to. Okay, it's gone from here to here to here to here since Shad's been here. Well, you know he's got a plan to take it to here, and I expect to hear that in a few minutes.
That'll be interesting to see for sure. Jaguars.com, we're live in the Terrace Suite at Everbank Field, 11 o'clock. The State of the Franchise, the fourth edition. This for 2016. Mark Lamping will lead the way there. You'll hear from Shad Khan today. We will have Shad Khan, the first word with the Jaguars owner after the event today before he goes to the media, so stay tuned after the show here today.
It's always a big moment for Shad to get a chance to come over and spend some time with you.
I can't tee it up any better for you.
That's what he looks forward to in the State of the Franchise. We all look forward to the renderings. Shot a little JP time.
That's what it is. Yeah, thanks a lot, John. Mark Lamping, though, this is his kind of thing, right?
Yep.
The presentation setting, moving a franchise forward, that's what he's done the last few years and kept the momentum rolling when the football side's not going as well.
Well, I think anybody who saw the first day of the franchise, when they saw Mark Lamping make this presentation, I think that's when most people kind of said, all right, this guy knows what he's doing.
All right.
And, you know, we had all seen it for about a year. And people who had interviewed him had seen it. Fans get a chance each year to see Mark. And if you don't have a feeling of confidence in terms of where the franchise is headed, when you listen to him and the way he explains local revenue, the way he explains things that need to be done and their game plan for getting it done, you know, Shad gets a lot of credit. Obviously, Mark Lamping deserves a lot of the credit for the execution of everything going on. And I hope he's listened to this.
That's right.
At this point.
He'll see the archives soon on Jaguars.com.
Hey, Mark,
if he hasn't seen it yet. We'll hear from Mark Lamping coming up shortly with Brian Sexton here on the pregame, if you will, for the State of the Franchise today. You know, there's always something big. You know, a couple years ago, last year, the Shipyards project was announced during this, and the idea of that. Not sure you'll hear much about that today, but now it's the update on the indoor facility.
Right.
There's always a big cornerstone to this presentation.
Right. And I would expect the cornerstone to be something regarding the indoor facility. You know, here's exactly what we're doing. Here's the plan. Here's when it's going to go in. And here's what it's going to look like. At the same time, Shad usually has something up his sleeve on this, at least something looking forward. So we'll see how that goes. I don't really know what to expect on that, but you're usually walking out of here with a little nugget that you didn't think you were going to get before. So we'll see if that happens today.
Good to talk to you, John.
Always good to see you.
And we'll talk to you after this.
It's going to be a fun show and a fun day.
I believe it will be. That's John Osier, J.P. Shadrick with you. Brian Sexton is standing by, and we'll get to him coming up with Mark Lamping, the Jaguars president. The presentation is moments away, and let's go there now. Brian Sexton has Jaguars president Mark Lamping. Brian?
All right, JP and John, thanks so much. I am with Jaguars team president Mark Lamping. And Mark, the last couple of years, this has been about local revenue. Is that still the dominant theme of today's address?
Absolutely. Nothing's really changed, and I don't think it's going to change for quite some time. And, you know, we're making progress, which is great news, but we got a long way to go.
The genesis of this idea, to be so transparent, not a lot of teams do that. How do you benefit from being so transparent with your fans?
Well, you know, we wouldn't be here in Jacksonville if it wasn't for the community. You know, we're true partners with the community. We play in a stadium that's owned by the city of Jacksonville. And, you know, our fans care tremendously about what's happening with their football team. And, you know, we believe it's our responsibility to ensure that they know what's going on to make it easier for them to be able to put into context the decisions that we make.
How much will you tell the folks who are watching and listening today about the facilities and where they're at?
Quite a bit. But more importantly, we'll talk about the reasons why these types of improvement are necessary to delivering a stable NFL franchise here in Jacksonville.
All right, Mark. Thanks so much. I know you got to get to the stage. Appreciate it. JP, we'll send it back to you. Obviously, we're just moments away from the start of the address, and you just heard Mark say, predominantly, this will be about local revenue and the Jaguars' progress and challenges that remain.
Jaguars President Mark Lamping with Brian Sexton, State of the Franchise 2016, moments away, and Mark Lamping will carry the load of this presentation today. You'll hear from Jaguars owner Shad Khan to begin things, and Lamping will present the State of the Franchise 2016, and of course after, right here on the set, Jags owner Shad Khan will join us for a first word after today. As we talked with John a moment ago, a few things to expect from today's presentation. Local revenue is always a note in this presentation each and every year. How important it is to the franchise and every franchise in the NFL for that matter, and how do you improve local revenue, and they'll probably present some ways to do that and some plans for that in the coming 2016 season. Also, you'll probably hear a little bit about the London initiative, how it's gone so far, how other teams kind of want to get into London as well, and you have to protect that that footprint in the London market. So that'll be another note today as well. And, of course, all the things happening here at Everbank Field, the updates to the U.S. Assure clubs, you'll get a more detailed account of that. And certainly the indoor practice facility and the amphitheater, you know, you've seen one basic rendering of those in the past. You'll probably see a little more detail to that today since the construction is underway already. What will they look like exactly? How will they be modified into the current stadium? And how does it fit in the footprint of downtown Jacksonville, too? That's a lot to look at today. The room's beginning to fill up behind us here in the Terrace Suite at Everbank Field. A number of officials are here from the city of Jacksonville, including Mayor Lenny Curry. He's here today. Of course, on the Jaguars side, Mark Lamping, Shad Khan. Dave Caldwell flew back from Mobile for this event today, the Jaguars general manager. He'll be available to the media after today as well. Plenty of officials, sponsors, front office employees have come up for this event today. Always a packed room, certainly a little more so today, a little bit of a smaller room than in the U.S. Assure clubs because they're under construction. It has been moved up to the Terrace Suite this year. Everybody standing by for the event behind us, and the folks making the presentations to the table, or just to the left of the table here beside us, about to head up towards the stage. Local media folks in attendance today, Mark Waller from the National Football League, the VP of International, is here today as well. And making an appearance down for a few days. I decided to come check it out for the first time in person. He had heard about the event and now wants to see this thing happen here at Everbank Field. So moments away from the State of the Franchise 2016. Everybody's crowding into the room behind us here. About seven rows of chairs, about six or seven seats on each side. They'll all be filled today. They're all reserved, and some standing room only in the back in what will be a packed room for the State of the Franchise here in 2016. Glad you're with us today. Jaguars.com. We're live at the Terrace Suite at Everbank Field. The 2016 State of the Franchise is just moments away. Also tonight on Channel 4, if you want more State of the Franchise info, Jaguars All Access with a look behind the scenes at the football side and the business side of the Jaguars, featuring Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, Dave Caldwell. More details on what is shared today. That's coming up tonight at 8 o'clock on Channel 4 WJXT here in Jacksonville. And, of course, this broadcast today on Jaguars.com will be archived on the website very soon after. So check that out right here on Jaguars.com. The whole pre-show, the entire presentation, and, of course, the interview with Jaguars owner Shad Khan after. That's coming up today on the website. Also, if you haven't seen our Senior Bowl coverage from this past week, check it out. Senior Bowl Central is still up on Jaguars.com. Our next big event after today in terms of coverage is the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis at the end of February. We'll be there for a number of days with access to the media room, Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and GM Dave Caldwell as well, and begin that pre-draft process. That's coming up in a few weeks. But today, the State of the Franchise, a cornerstone event each and every offseason for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and again today we'll get an idea of where the Jags stand after 2015 heading to the 2016 season. So a lot to look through today. The presentation expected to go around 30 minutes or so, so stay by the computer, don't go away. A full presentation from Mark Lamping, including PowerPoint, graphics, visual slides, all the above coming today. And it's always intriguing to see what happens in this, because you're not really sure what surprises are going to come out. We have a pretty good idea of it, but we haven't seen the full presentation yet. And it's always something big, a big vision for the future. And that's certainly what this franchise is based around now, with Jaguars owner Shad Khan looking towards the future quite a bit with a grand vision for a lot of things. And they'll start to narrow that down today for the 2016 season. So we're moments away. That's Dan Edwards, the VP of Communications for the Jaguars, asking folks to find their seats for this presentation. So we're a couple of moments away. We will head to the stage now. We are minutes away, moments,
silence,
in fact, from the 2016 State of the Franchise on Jaguars.com.
And as soon as we get everybody seated, we'll start a program. Thanks for coming.
This is not just rush hour. This is not just construction. This is not just industry. This is Jacksonville in motion. It's a pulse, a heartbeat, and right now, it's stronger than ever. This is football, but it's also community. It's pride, family, generosity. It's entertainment, ingenuity, commitment. And more than anything, it's opportunity. Opportunity to play our part in keeping Jacksonville in motion.
Good morning and welcome to Everbank Field. Today is a special day, and I think that video summarizes a lot of things. And when you think about the promise of what's to come, but more importantly, what's already occurred, would not have been possible without our first speaker. Please welcome the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Shad Khan.
Thank you, Mark, and greetings, everybody, to our guests and members of the news media joining us today here in the Terrace Suite for our annual State of the Franchise. I'd like to extend a special welcome to Lenny, our mayor. Welcome to your first State of the Franchise address as mayor of the great city of Jacksonville, as well as City Council President Greg Anderson. And the rest of the members of the City Council, Jacksonville City Council, who are here. And I'd also like to welcome Mark Waller from NFL International. I'm so glad, Mark, you were able to join us. I feel this is really an important, it's a great opportunity for us today to give our fans and partners absolutely a crystal clear look into where we are as a franchise and where we plan on being in the future. And by the way, I think it bears repeating, we plan to be in Jacksonville. Thank you. But for us, it's not just enough to be in Jacksonville. We don't want to be a franchise on and off the field that merely exists. That's really quite counter to anything I believed in, and, you know, that's not our way of doing business. And frankly, it's not good enough for the city of Jacksonville. This is a community that supported the franchise for faithfully and impressively for over two decades, and we just don't want to exist here. We want to flourish here. So you'll hear from Mark in a few moments on how we plan on getting that done. On the business side, so we have a franchise that is not only stable in Jacksonville, but is also has a great promise and future. And really the fact we're having this here in Terrace Suite is really an example of our commitment. Typically, this event was held in the West Club area, and right now that's going through a major construction, and we're hoping in August, U.S. Ashore Clubs will open, and both the east and the west sides of Everbank Field will offer our fans the best premium experience anywhere in the NFL. And the renovations of the club area and really the rest of the projects are a testament to the partnership we share with the city of Jacksonville. And for that, Mayor, Greg, we're extremely grateful. So thank you. But, and I don't want to, you know, make any mistake, however, that we need to be better on the field. I get that. And, I can share with you, I mean, I've agonized over every defeat, not just for me, but I think for our partners, sponsors, and all of our fans. We have a growing fan base, both here in the U.S. and, of course, in London and throughout the U.K. And I know today many of you are watching us online, and I want to thank you for the incredible support, especially in trying times. And I can tell you that, you know, we're committed to your loyalty, and the moves we've made over the past week with our football staff and head coach Gus Bradley are designed to do exactly that. You saw some signs of progress in 2015, and last week we put our belief in Gus and his coaching staff. And I believe the immediate result of this is certainty and stability that's going to serve us well in the off season and training camp. And with that, all of us really have one goal for 2016, and that's to win in 2016. You know, I can't wait, obviously, for everything to get going here, the free agency and the draft and some of the other aspects we're working on. But until then, we have a lot going on off the field that we want to share with you today. So I thank you for spending time with us today, and I'd like to welcome back to the podium a man who shares our commitment to make Jacksonville Jaguars the best franchise not only in the NFL but in all of sports, our team president, Mark Lamping.
Chad. Thank you, Shad. We have a full presentation today, but before we get started, I do have to take a moment to thank the extremely talented people I have the pleasure of working with each and every day. I have the easy part, which is to give the presentation. The difficult part in assembling all this data and putting this work together is the work product of the staff of the Jaguars, and the people that report to me are the finest team that I've ever had the opportunity to work with in sports. And in particular, I wanted to recognize our head of business analytics, Ari Landsman-Rose, who was so instrumental in putting this together. So to the people I have a chance to work with, thank you very much. Today we will be covering a number of items, not that different of an agenda that we follow each and every year. The importance of local revenue. I know we sound like a broken record. What our strategy is to grow our local revenue. How we did last year. What's the report card say? What are we focused on in 2016? And what about the future? Our message has been very consistent. You know, this is our fourth state of the franchise. Back in 2013, we said we need to fix this. If we don't, we threaten the financial stability of the franchise here in Jacksonville. So our obligation, and it's essential obligation, is to grow our local revenue at a rate faster than the industry. Last 2014, local revenue remains critical to our long-term success. And 2015, as it relates to local revenue, two conclusions, going in the right direction, a long way to go, and we can repeat that again for this year, going in the right direction, but a long way to go. Our cycle of success is pretty easy to understand. Starts with local revenue. If we're able to generate a sufficient amount of local revenue that puts us in a position compared to our peers, and our peers are spread across the country, gives us the financial ability to reinvest in the team and the infrastructure and the community, leads to enhanced on-field performance and experience of our fans. Fans become more loyal. They continue to support us, and it's a virtuous cycle. The benchmarks for success are pretty simple. The media is here because they report every Sunday night and every Monday on what happened on Sunday. So on the football side of this business, it's pretty simple. It's wins and losses. On the business side of the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's local revenue. That is our single focus. And I'll explain in a little more detail why that is so crucial for a franchise like Jacksonville operating in one of the NFL's smallest markets. This is data from Forbes, and I'm not here suggesting the accuracy of this, but this is public information from Forbes, and it does two things. It takes the revenue of each of the 32 NFL franchises, and it compares it to the profits of those teams. Okay. In the National Football League, all teams share the same amount of national revenue, so your ability to distinguish yourself from one market to the next is in the form of local revenue. Profitability. Our fans don't care if we're profitable. That's not what drives them to support the Jaguars. Why is profitability important to us? It gives us the capacity to invest in the facility, to invest in technology, to invest in the community, to invest in people. And even beyond that, the way that the industry has evolved, if you have financial flexibility, it allows you, it allows Dave to make decisions as it relates to how do you structure contracts? How much of a contract is guaranteed? How much is paid up front? When are salaries paid? And all of those impact what we're doing. And in fact, if you go from 2011 till today, teams in the top half of the National Football League on average win two more games and are 50% more likely to make the playoffs. Now, I know that sometimes if you have a bad football team, you're going to have local revenue because not as many people are going to go. But it's not the only factor in every market. And as you dig into this, you see there are certain markets due to market realities, market size, facility issues. And I don't know that this has been underlined any more than what we've observed over the past 6 months on all the speculation about Los Angeles. And wasn't it wonderful for this community not to have to have the Jacksonville Jaguars constantly rumored to be one of those teams interested in moving to Los Angeles? What's our growth strategy? Continued investment in the fan experience. We have to provide our fans with a distinctly different and unique experience here than the great experience they can get by staying at home. Support the community, particularly downtown Jacksonville. It's a major part of our strategy, and you can see it in terms of Shad's investment strategy. We believe if more people live downtown, if more people work downtown, if more people visit downtown, that benefits the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we're thrilled that the mayor's office shares that same commitment. Create new revenue streams. You'll have an example of that today. London was an initiative that is very, very important to us. We'll take on even greater importance in the future. And with the new entertainment district we're building, creating new revenue streams. And then finally, average ticket price. We're going to be talking about a price increase today, and I really want to put into perspective how important average ticket price is as it relates to our position in terms of the National Football League, in terms of local revenue. And as I said earlier, as our local revenue goes, so goes our stability here in Jacksonville. Our commitment to the community has been stronger than ever. Over $2.1 million through the Jaguars Foundation back into the community this year, awarded to over 180 nonprofit organizations. Our fans helped us raise $430,000 this year through our 50-50 raffle that went back to charitable organizations. Our players, and again, players don't have a lot of time off, but our players are important parts of the community and they really care. Over 500 Jaguar players and appearances from the Roar cheerleaders. We entered into a partner a couple years ago with the city of Jacksonville, the Jaguars Jacksonville Veterans Resource and Reintegration Center, served over 12,500 vets this past year and donated over 1,500 items to charity, which raised even more money for many great organizations. So how do we do in terms of local revenue? Local revenue 2014 to 2015 grew at 8%. The percentage of revenue that is due to our activities in London continues to represent about one in every $8 that we generate. And make no mistake, our involvement in London makes us more stable in Jacksonville. Well, within that revenue, what have we seen? Well, we've seen our ticket revenue become a little less important. Sponsorship revenue has grown significantly over the past few years, and this is something that we really need to begin to attack. And obviously, and we saw it with a couple of our games at the end of the year, if you're performing on the field better, you have more interest in terms of those casual fans that may show up, that difference of 5 to 10% in terms of ticket sales. But the other piece of this, because we're not just talking about counting tickets and the number of tickets we sell, we're talking about revenue, the amount you pay for those tickets is critically important. When we look at our ticket revenue, what's the source of that revenue? Back in 2013, about half our ticket revenue was due to general admission sales. That's down to about 45.6%. Our club seat sales as a percentage of overall ticket sales is relatively flat. I mean, keep in mind, the NFL would not be in Jacksonville if this community didn't buy 11,000 club seats over 20 years ago. And the area that we're growing, and we're growing because of investments that have been made, is in the creation of new other premium products, which now represent about 10% of our total ticket revenue. And it's this area right here in terms of club and general admission we'll be talking more and more about as we go through today's presentation. Game day experience is critical. We had the great results in 2014. This is on a 10-point scale. This is how our fans rate their experience. We were 8.0 in 2014, ranked extremely high across every measure against other teams in the National Football League. We were able to maintain that this year at 8.0, and compared to the NFL average is 7.4. The other piece is, if you look at just one element of this, the video capabilities and the video presentation, we scored 9.8 on a 10-point scale, the highest that the NFL has had a team rate on any category. So thanks to our great team with Jag Cinema. But going back to Shad's investment and the partnership with the city to make our video capabilities state-of-the-art here at Everbank Field. So our local revenue, we've turned the corner. After many, many years of decline, 2013 to 2014, we moved up to 26th in the league in terms of local revenue. Remember, this is always delayed by a year. So next year when we come to you, we'll be reporting on where we ended up in 2015. This is data that comes from the league. We don't control it. But we've turned the corner. The strategy's working. A long way to go. But we're not the only NFL franchise that's focused on local revenue. And we're certainly not the only NFL franchise that's doing things to drive local revenue. And what's the key on local revenue? This is the average manifested ticket price. So if you take your entire ticket manifest, you take the ticket price and you average it, and you compare it to what the local revenue is that's generated by that team, and this is over multiple years, there is a direct correlation
between what your average ticket price is and the amount of local revenue you generate. And that's not something that people should find earth-shattering, okay? But critically important, critically important. In fact, over 80% of the variability between teams in terms of local revenue can be explained by simply looking at their average ticket price. So what's happening in the league? Well, there are six teams that are currently ready in the next few years to move into new stadiums. The Vikings move into their new stadium next year. The Falcons the year after that. The Los Angeles Rams 2 years after that. Two teams in the Raiders and the Chargers that have been approved for relocation out of their markets are working on new stadiums. And the Washington Redskins. Now, the interesting thing about this, if you went back just a few years, all of these teams, with the exception of the Redskins, would be all the way over in this column right here, and I'll explain it in a moment. There's 19 teams in the National Football League that are playing in stadiums that are newer than Everbank Field. There's five teams that are playing in stadiums that have received renovations in excess of $300 million, and then there's the Jaguars and the Buffalo. Now, this chart isn't here to be talking about Everbank Field. The reason this chart is up is to understand that other markets are doing major activities and teams are focused on initiatives that will have a significant impact on their local revenue. How big of an impact? When you move from an old stadium to a new stadium or a stadium that has major renovations, you experience a 50% increase in your average ticket price. And keep in mind, as we just showed a moment ago, average ticket price explains 80% of the variability between one team versus another in terms of local revenue. So my point is, we've turned the corner, we're up to 26th, but we don't think for a moment that we should just start coasting now. Now is the time to become even more aggressive. Well, how's the market of Jacksonville doing? This is an indication of the percentage of people that live in Jacksonville that say that they're fans of the National Football League. In 2013, 52.2% of people that are fortunate enough to live in Jacksonville said they were fans of the NFL, just about at the NFL average. From 13 to 14, a big increase to 63.6%, and this past year continued to increase 67%. Two out of every three people that live in Jacksonville say they're fans of the NFL, just about in the top 10 of all NFL markets. This is a very strong NFL market. It's a small market, but if you set aside size, this is a very strong NFL market, and nobody should be surprised by that given how important football is to the culture of this community. And it's growing. Interest in the NFL grew by 6% here in Jacksonville, again amongst the top 10 in all the National Football League. But then there's the reality of there's not a lot of us that live here. Most of us are fans of the NFL. But even though we have significantly more fans on a percentage basis than most NFL markets, size catches up with us. So we've actually moved up to, there's only two markets that are smaller than Jacksonville right now in terms of the number of NFL fans. To ignore this would be irresponsible. To not plan around it would be irresponsible on our behalf. In some respects, the size of Jacksonville is what makes it so special to live here. Now we have to figure out a way to make it work. It's our responsibility, not the community's. So within that universe of NFL fans, how many say that the Jaguars are their favorite team? Well, back in 2013, it was about a third. Moved up to 35% last year and grew to about 40% this year. Again, this shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. It's not a surprise to us. It's not a surprise to me. Half of us who are blessed to live here aren't from the state of Florida. And one thing is consistent. Everyone in this community, if they love the NFL, they love the Jaguars. There's a percentage of them, a fairly high percentage, They may love another team just a little bit more than the Jaguars, but they love the Jaguars. The same person who's buying season tickets to the Jaguars and shows up each and every week with their Jaguar jersey on, shows up with the Steelers jersey on when the Steelers play here. Okay? We're not, to believe that we're going to convert that, that's not something we think we can do in the short term. Long term, perhaps. So we have to recognize this and manage the team and market the team and conduct ourselves in the stadium sensitive to this factor. So yes, for our Jaguar fans are the most important thing that we have to deal with each and every day. But we also have to focus on NFL fans. And you see it here. That's why we're the only stadium that has NFL Red Zone up the entire game. We show more score updates than any other team. Why is that? Because we know we have a lot of people that are in the stands rooting for the Jaguars that want to keep one eye on their hometown team. And they may live here, but their first team might be somebody other than the Jaguars. And is this something that will change over time? The obvious question, which Vito would ask, which is, if you just won more games, more people would love the Jaguars. So if you go back over time, go back to 2003, keep in mind you're still coming off the euphoria of Jacksonville being selected as an NFL market, four appearances in the playoffs out of the first 5 years, two trips to the AFC Championship game, and about a third of the NFL fans listed the Jaguars as their favorite team, and it grew. But it never got over 50%. And we made a nice jump this year. Our hope is that as this generation of Jaguar fans begins to grow, that will impact this. But we can't force the passage of time. It happens on its own pace. But we feel good about it, but this isn't something that winning automatically is going to cure. Winning will certainly help it. Winning will help everything. But to think that the only reason there is a small percentage of NFL fans that root for the Jaguars is because of our recent poor performance, that's not the case. Our fan base is growing, up 21% last year, and this is ESPN data. This isn't our data. Grew faster than any NFL market other than one. So things are looking up. The market's getting stronger. But again, because of the size of this market. When you take the number of NFL fans, you multiply it by the percent that are Jaguar fans, you end up with an actual number of fans. Again, this is where the size of the market really impacts us. And it guides us in terms of what we do. Again, this is our responsibility to deal with, not the community's. Television ratings. 2013 averaged 18.3. NFL average was 28.5. 2014 jumped up to almost 21% and took another jump this year to 23.3%, again compared to the NFL average of 28.3. These three bars that are indicated in red, those are the three markets in the National Football League that are smaller than Jacksonville from a Nielsen television measurement. It's Green Bay, New Orleans, and Buffalo. And again, this is an indication of why Jacksonville is a little bit of an outlier. Normally what you see in small markets, there's fewer people. A high percentage of those people were born, raised, and stay there. Buffalo and Green Bay are classic examples of that. And the impact of the team is even greater. So they have much higher average television ratings in good times and bad. That's not the case in Jacksonville. Again, we shouldn't be surprised by it. But the point of this is we have to operate differently than most other teams that are facing these types of issues. This is a very unique market. It's a wonderful market, but it's unique. And we have to deal with this market in unique and different ways than most professional sports teams. Our growth in ratings is up 12.5% last year, you know, amongst the biggest growth of NFL teams. So let's look at average ticket price. This is the average ticket price of Jaguar tickets. 2015 pricing applied against every seat that's available in the facility. So we have the fifth least expensive tickets in the National Football League. Awesome. If you're buying tickets. Understand that, okay? Not so good if it leads to instability for your NFL franchise. And if you separate that into GA tickets versus our premium tickets, our GA tickets are the second least expensive in the entire National Football League. So if you're a fan of another NFL team, come to Jacksonville and, you know, 30 out of 31 times you're going to pay less money here than you would pay back home for your team, to see your team. As far as premium tickets are concerned, again, we're in the bottom six. And we can't get away from premium tickets because don't forget history. Jaguars would not be in Jacksonville if it wasn't for this community buying 11,000 club seats. Until we finish this renovation, we still have amongst the greatest number of club seats in the entire NFL. Why would one of the smallest markets have the greatest number of club seats in the NFL? Well, Jacksonville did for a long time. They sold them up front, and things were wonderful until those club seat contracts expired, and then slowly but surely it deteriorated down to the rate it's been to today, where about 80% of our club seats get sold. So we're taking out 20% of them, and we're replacing it with other amenities that our fans can enjoy. How about our ticket pricing versus inflation? A GA ticket back in 1996 cost $42. The average of that GA ticket this past year cost $57. How does that compare to inflation? Well, if it just went up with inflation, it would be $63. So relatively close. If you go back to 2001, the post-expansion euphoria of the franchise being here and a lot of the seat purchase contracts expiring, the price of GA tickets has gone up by 1.7%, while inflation has been 2%. So staying pretty close, but the gap is widening a little bit. Not too bad. Well, what's happened to club prices? The thing that made Jacksonville an NFL city was the sale of club tickets. And I think everyone understood that. While I wasn't here at the time, it certainly was positioned that way with the community. If we don't do this, we don't get the NFL team. So they were sold. They were sold under multi-year contracts. And that club seat that was $165 back in 1996 averages $181 today. Inflation would be about $70 higher. But almost more importantly, since 2001, the actual price of club tickets has gone down by 0.3% each year, while inflation has gone up 2%. And that's not surprising. Way too much supply, not enough demand. The demand for the first 5 years was a little artificial, because if you buy it, you get the team. Once that wears off, you deal with the reality of having way too many club seats than you know how to deal with. You can't raise price. So now how have we tried to deal with that? You've got this relationship between price and value. Thanks to Schott investing millions of dollars, thanks to the city's partnership, we're investing heavily into the value side of our club seats, and we need to move price. So what's our philosophy in ticket pricing? First, deliver a responsible ticket pricing plan consistent with a stable NFL franchise in a small market. We can't simply throw caution to the wind, raise ticket prices, and know that a large percentage of the people in this community can't afford to buy tickets anymore. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We're not going to be able to achieve what we need to achieve. So we need to find the right balance, find creative ways of getting where we need to be. Invest up front. Invest in the value side of this price-value relationship. You've seen it in terms of the investment in the stadium. You see it in terms of the investment in the clubs, and you'll see it underway right now in terms of investment, in terms of the entertainment value of what's happening here in and around Everbank Field. Recognize fan loyalty and tenure. If you've been with us from the beginning, you ought to get some breaks. If you're a new buyer, you should be buying in at new buyer pricing. And understand the real market value and reflect those market realities in our price plan. There is so much data available today in terms of not only the purchase habits of our fans, but what do they buy? Why do they buy it? So as we looked at 2016, there was a number of things that influenced our plan, things that we considered. How do we compare versus other NFL teams? We know our fans are only buying tickets here, but we're competing with teams across the NFL. So to ignore how we compare to other teams would be very short-sighted for us. We know how tickets sell historically by seating section. We also understand that within seating sections themselves, the location within those sections impact value. If you're in the first row of a section, that ticket is much more valuable than if you're in the last row of a section. We have to begin to understand that and begin to access that value. What's the effect of amenities on ticket prices? When we add food and beverage as part of a ticket, how does it move the ticket price? When we have amenities and clubs, how does that allow us to increase the ticket price? As it relates to single game tickets and group tickets, what about the opponent? Not so much season tickets, but individual and group tickets. The impact of an opponent. So that's why, you know, you're going to see us continuing to do variable pricing on single and group tickets and even get into dynamic pricing when we have opponents that make sense for us to do that. What's the actual ticket sales on the secondary market? What are people really paying? And where are visiting team fans buying tickets? We've already said that our tickets are cheaper than 31 of 32 teams. Well, why don't we make the visiting fans feel at home and they can pay what they paid back home, you know? So what's our plan for next year? About 5% of the seats in the stadium will actually have a decrease in pricing. 10% will have no change. 46% of our seats, these are GA seats, 46%. If the season ticket holder makes their renewal commitment by February 29th, there's no price increase. And just to remind you, we have a very flexible payment schedule. The Jaguars always have. So what are we saying? Make a commitment by February 29th. Make your first 1/7 payment on your season tickets. For our club seat holders, if you do the same thing, if you make your first 1/7 payment by the end of February, you will experience a lower price increase by 10% than what new buyers will experience with club seats or current buyers that renew, make their renewal commitment after February 29th. And again, making a payment of 1/7, not payment in full. And that leaves about 24% of our seats that are going up. Guess what? Those are seats that currently are not sold on a season ticket basis. All in all, the effective average ticket price increase is 3.6%. And it varies across, some up, some down. It'll be influenced on how quickly our season ticket holders respond. But we think it's not only necessary, we think it's the best plan. Pricing will be released next week to season ticket holders. We've built a very robust site for our season ticket holders to renew, both at Jags 365 as well as Jaguars Black portals. Interactive digital renewal interface, easy one-click renewal, but also as our season ticket members understand, we have really built a very large sales and service staff. So our lines are always open to talk to somebody, a live person on the phone to answer any questions you might have. Again, this loyalty renewal pricing, GA, season ticket holders, make your 1/7 payment by February 29th, no price increase. And if you're a U.S. Assured Club seat holder, renew by the end of February, and you'll benefit from 10% less of a price increase than those that renew later. Earlier, you know, we showed you about 12.5% of our total local revenue is sourced from our London program. need to sort of remind everybody, when we can put Jacksonville in the same conversation with London, that's a pretty good thing for Jacksonville. You know, London's almost 10.5 times the size of Jacksonville. The capacity of Wembley Stadium is 1.3 times larger. The average ticket price is 1.3, what your ticket price would be here. And as a result, the revenue potential on a game at Wembley versus Everbank Field is almost double. Very, very important. And our commitment to, London is paying great dividends. And it's a serious commitment. We just moved another one of our senior employees to London in the past few months. The Union Jacks fan club has grown from under 5,500 members when it was a few months after it was launched back in March of 2013. We now have over 50,000 members of the Jaguar fan club in London and throughout the UK. This is that same chart I showed you earlier. And again, speaking to the impact of facilities and how you can maybe begin to understand why teams make certain decisions. So you have these four teams right here that are in bold. New stadiums in the next 5 years. And keep in mind, before they were in this category, they were over here. These four teams have all moved home games to London. When you take a look at teams that are in new stadiums, Tampa, Cincinnati is actually moving their game this year, in the bottom half of the National Football League in terms of market size. And then San Francisco moved a home game when they were playing in their old stadium. Teams that made huge investments in their stadiums to try to change their local revenue profile, three of the five have moved home games, as we have. The reason that when we look at this, what this tells us is, if London is that important to the Jaguars, we better make sure we protect our position in London. If the Jaguars lose our position in London, it makes the Jaguars less stable in Jacksonville. So we make investments along with making decisions on ticket pricing. And we're meeting here today, as Shad mentioned, because of major renovations currently underway in the U.S. Assure Club. New walkout terraces in the seating bowl, creating a glass connection between the seating bowl and the clubs, all new seats for our club seat holders, the creation of these terraces with places for people to gather. And again, I think this is a reflection of the makeup of this marketplace. All you have to do is look at the Bud Zone and look at the at FanDuelville, and they're packed. Packed to a greater percentage than the regular seating. And we believe some of that has to do with the fact that our fans like to move around a little bit. There's other things they want to keep track of beyond just what's happening with the Jaguars. This is a social event. What makes it different in going to a game versus being at home is when you go to a game, you are surrounded by thousands and thousands of people that have the same interest as you. And if we can create an environment where you can interact with people, where you share some interest, it underlines the difference between being here and being at home, and we have to do that. So we're putting terraces between the 40-yard lines in the middle of the seating bowl. No one's ever done that, but no one's ever had to deal with the unique circumstances that we deal with here in Jacksonville. Upgraded food and beverage options, air conditioning that will work, new and improved technology, sound and lighting. And one of the aspects of the technology is, you know, because of the advances in LED lighting, we're going to be able to do custom lighting. So when we were invited by the city to share some time with Jeremy Foley, the athletic director of the University of Florida, and Greg McGarity, the athletic director of the University of Georgia, and take them through what we're doing and explain to them, we now have the ability to personalize the stadium through lighting. So you can have some orange and blue in one club, and in the other club, it's the black and red of the Georgia Bulldogs. They love that. and it puts us in a better position to attract big events. And the ability to host private events in multiple spaces. Again, trying to get at and untap new revenue sources that can supplement some of the revenue shortfalls we have here in Jacksonville because of market size. So it'll be laid out much more appropriately for events, catered events, weddings, reunions, whatever it might be. All of those are becoming more and more important revenue streams for every professional sports teams, particularly teams in the National Football League. So here's the latest renderings of what you'll see come this August, the creation of these terraces at both the lower club and the upper club level, mid-bowl, and this is where we basically removed about 1,400 club seats on each side. A more open space, more places to socialize. It isn't going to be for everybody. A lot of people just want to stay in their seat and watch the game. And we love that. But there's others that like to move around a little bit. And again, given our market conditions, we better have a product that meets the needs of our fans as opposed to having a product that meets the needs of the ideal fan from our view. Clubs are updated. This gives you an idea in terms of this glass connection from inside the U.S. Assure Club to outside. And again, more views. Also, no lines at the bars, as you can see. Also, no servers or alcohol at the bar in this particular rendering. I think both those things will fix by next August. So it's under construction. Here's a view of what the inside of the Lower West Club looked like as of yesterday morning. And here's some of the demolition underway on the Upper West Club. So we're really, really excited about this development. We think it's going to go a long way to adding value to those who choose to purchase club seat tickets. And we don't take any of those purchases for granted. They're critically important to us. But we really think it's going to increase the value of being a season ticket holder in the U.S. Assure clubs. So with that, let's turn the page. We've got a quick video to give you a highlight of what's going to be happening, you know, right behind us during this offseason.
Since 2013, we have transformed Everbank Field into one of the finest stadiums in the National Football League. The inclusion of party decks, spas, and cabanas in the world's largest video boards provide our guests with an incredible and distinctive in-venue experience. But we're not done yet. Jacksonville is ready for more. Together, the City of Jacksonville and the Jaguars are embarking on a new plan to transform Everbank Field and the surrounding area into one of the most unique and multifaceted entertainment destinations in North America. The River District will become our city's new iconic landmark, extending Everbank Field into a full-scale sports and entertainment complex, and will play host to a variety of major events annually. A state-of-the-art 5,000-seat covered amphitheater and a new multi-purpose flex-filled facility bring Jacksonville's ecosystem of inlets and ridges to life under a stunning and locally inspired roof form. Beneath a bold structural frame and dynamic LED lighting, the new amphitheater creates a vibrant year-round home for top entertainment and events. A new enhanced south end zone creates an NFL game day experience well beyond the stadium walls. And our new end zone club offers a luxurious environment and a commanding view of the game, where our guests will have the opportunity to be up close and personal with our Jaguars as they take the field. Already underway, improved U.S. Assure clubs on the east and west side of Everbank Field are being added with the style, luxury, and amenities that represent the best of the River City. This is the experience of the future here in Jacksonville. The River District will support the identity of our distinctive city. It will raise our national profile, capturing the imagination of fans and tourists, building our local economy to support Jacksonville's bold ambitions. We are ready for more.
So again, to orientate you to what you just saw, this is Bay Street out here. St. John's River's over here, but Bay Street. This is that flex field that's in place, and I'll show you how it works when it's in football practice mode versus open to the public mode. And then as you're going towards the stadium from Bay Street, the amphitheater, this is all back of the house for the amphitheater, loading docks and other services and amenities. And then you get into, this is service level in the south end zone, currently where the prowl exists, and we will be removing two concession stands here and creating an opening to the field. The team will still enter through this tunnel, but this will create an opening that's going to provide some very unique opportunities for our fans. That's at ground level. When you go up to the second level, this right here is actually the Bud Light Zone. In this light yellow, this is the Bud Light Zone. What we do is we come in and we pour a extended deck. These triangles here are the supports for the video board. This escalator is a relocated escalator from, used to be in the center of the south end zone. And then we create a, almost like an opera deck overlooking the amphitheater. And then we go to the third level. So we're sitting about right here inside the terrace suite. And we create this deck off the back of the terrace, again with seating that creates a second level, second balcony over the amphitheater. So to call this an amphitheater is really sort of a misnomer. It's an open air covered theater is really what it is. And, you know, actually some great work from our partners at Populous. A couple of here today, Scott Radisick is here and John Malley have done a lot of this work. They shared with us yesterday what this seating bowl, how it matches up with other theaters across the country. And it's really shockingly similar to Radio City Music Hall in New York, where you have about 3,500 seats at the ground level. At the second balcony level, that Radio City obviously has more capacity with more rows, but the first balcony at Radio City Music Hall is almost exactly this level. Then the second balcony is at this level at Radio City Music Hall. So very, very similar. Now Radio City Music Hall has a third balcony. We just have two. So we think it's going to be extremely unique in terms of its look, in terms of its utility, in terms of the seating bowl. And that's what we believe we have to do to attract as many possible great events, artists to come and play in Jacksonville. And as they come and play in Jacksonville, that creates the economic impact that we all desire and need. Another view from Bay Street, and this is in its configuration where it'd be open to the public, open on a pregame. And our concept is that flex field is used for all of our fan activation prior to Jaguar games and other big events here at Everbank Field. This is with the doors closed. This is what it would look like when it's being used by the Jaguars. So you get a sense. Open. And these doors function like doors on airline hangars. This is about 65 feet from ground level to the roof. And then into the amphitheater where you have the stage. Back here would be that flex field, the ground level seating, and two balconies. In concert mode. And again, this is look from the west. This is going to be part of a second phase, but this is a pedestrian bridge that we hope to be able to construct, to be able to connect the south side of Bay Street with the sports complex. As you know, right now, it's a tremendous traffic congestion as pedestrians try to cross from the parking lots over around Met Park to this side of the of Bay Street. So the idea as part of a second phase is that we would have a pedestrian connection that would connect the sports complex to Met Park, public art, some water features that look nothing like pools. How about that? We have water features that don't look like pools. And this is an overhead shot. And to put it in perspective, this is the old amphitheater, the current amphitheater at Met Park. And you can see the scale of this project is significantly larger, and we believe will be significantly more impactful. So thank you very much for your attention. We appreciate your time, and turn it back over to Dan.
Yeah, thank you for the media. We'll follow up with Sean and Mark. Maybe you go over here for the backdrops. We've got on your way out a Google Cardboard viewer, 3D viewer, that allows you to look at 3D views of the U.S. Assure Club Friends renovation and rendering. Thank you for coming.
Jaguars.com coverage of the 2016 State of the Franchise. That's an eye-opener, isn't it? The amphitheater and the indoor facility at the very end. We'll hear from Jags owner Shad Khan coming up. We'll have the first word with the Jaguars owner, his reaction to the presentation and what reaction it could have with the local media. They'll speak with him after we talk to him right here. You saw it all live. You saw the local revenue projections and how that could be changed in the future. Some London talk and then the indoor facility and the amphitheater. Mr. Khan, come have a seat with us. Grab a microphone. Good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Happening?
Thanks for having me.
This is always a cornerstone event now in this off season. Every off season for you, this is a big one. The franchise is strong, even though the results on the field haven't been what you want. Everything off the field is going very well, right?
I think, as Mark said, yes, we're moving in the right direction, but yet there are a lot of things to be done.
Now the next step, though, let's start with the end here, right? The indoor facility and the amphitheater. Is that the first vision you had of this thing compared to what was shown today? How much different is it?
It's quite different, but this is spectacular. Okay, everything we do, we want to do something that'll make a difference, that'll be unique, that'll stand out. I've been a big believer on having, like for Jacksonville, we want to have iconic elements that anybody can see throughout the world and recognize that's Jacksonville. I think the roof feature, it's an indoor practice facility, yet the doors open, and the feeling it gives you of the river, the sun, the wind, it couldn't describe Jacksonville better.
Are you involved on a day-to-day basis with the design and the idea behind this?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time on it because we absolutely want it to be something unique, functional, and be able to get it done with the money that the city and we've allocated, which is half and half. So.
And you couldn't do it without the city's help, right?
No,
that's a big part of this thing. And
absolutely.
The partnership with the city is very strong, too,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, and the economic vitality, the growth we expect from this, this needs to be a destination, will be a destination. Artists will want to come and perform here, and I think, it's going to add a lot of not only energy, but money to the community.
Shad Khan is with us. Local revenue, always a big theme at the State of the Franchise. It seems to keep going up, but you have to find different ways to move forward, too, in that regard.
Absolutely. And, we've been very creative, and a lot of the products we have really, were unique. And now we find out, a lot of them are being copied, by other teams, which is great.
It's good to be a trendsetter, right?
Absolutely, it's the ultimate form of flattery.
Finally, a little bit of London. We already know about the extension there, but you have to protect the team's footprint and interest in the London market. Other teams want to be in London too, right?
Absolutely.
And how do you do that?
Well, how you do that is to connect with the fans. We're the only team that has, full-time staff there. So we take it very seriously as part of our mission. I think the Union Jacks fan club you heard about, we got over 50,000 people, fans. We want them also to come to Jacksonville. So it needs to be, two-way. and all the metrics are, it's working.
The club renovations are underway right now. They're hoping to be done by the season. How about the amphitheater and the facility? Is there, do you know of a timetable for those?
Well, I think right now that, you know, we've got the design nailed down. We've started the demolition, and, you know, there'll be a work here over the next year and a half.
You love this kind of stuff, don't you?
I do. I love it.
This is so great. And we love having you on with us.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Khan, thank you.
Okay.
Shad Khan, Jaguars owner, joining us on Jaguars.com after the 2016 State of the Franchise. More coverage of the State of the Franchise reaction coming up tonight on Jaguars All Access. That's an 8 o'clock start on Channel 4. Behind-the-scenes look at the football side and the business side with Shad Khan, who just joined us. Mark Lamping, of course, who had the presentation today. Dave Caldwell is here today. He'll be on the show tonight as well. More info on everything shared today, plus some. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on our television partner, Channel 4, here in Jacksonville. That'll do it for our coverage today here on Jaguars.com. Our thanks to John Osier, who joined us earlier. Mark Lamping was with Brian Sexton in the pregame show, if you will. And certainly our thanks to Jags owner Shad Khan for joining us for the first word after today's event. For everyone involved in the production, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching the 2016 State of the Franchise on Jaguars.com.